Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. I'm your host and facilitator for the evening. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. We have a very good show planned for you tonight, and we're so happy that all of you all took time out of your busy schedule to stop by to be with us this evening. Tonight's topic is a rather deep one, and we certainly hope and trust that you will not only tune in to it, but that you will gain something from it. As always, we have the disclaimer that we respect all opinions, and of course, if you choose to say something on tonight's program, we encourage you to press 1 on your dial. It is not intended, our purpose is not intended to give you legal advice or psychological advice or even spiritual advice for that matter. It's simply to present a series of questions to get you to go in and start to research and search the Word of God for yourself, and not just take it from the perspective of any other individual, whether that be a pastor, minister, layperson, or otherwise, but it's encouraging you to seek the kingdom of God for yourself and, have that develop your own personal relationship with our Creator. And so our series of questions sometimes can often be thought-provoking, but it's only designed to give you something to think about in terms of where you stand in your own personal belief, which is what spirituality, in my opinion, is all about. It's about having our own personal relationship with God, our views, our concepts. I'm a strong believer in God, and I don't think anything that was made without Him creating it or making it. So I'm a strong believer, and that's just my personal take on it. So once again, it's the intent of our show or our programming is not to turn anyone away from God, but in fact, hopefully that through our questions and our show topics, that you will want to search the scriptures for yourself and develop that personal relationship with God. And that's what we want to bring to you all this evening. All right, having said that, I want to go ahead and welcome a number of our co-hosts who are joining us tonight, and we thank them certainly for joining us. Let's go ahead and welcome the international minister himself, the Honorable Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always good to have you.
Dr. Walker, it's always great to be on. We got just great topics, and we just thank the Lord for the topics that you bring to us. And when all is said and done, it's all about improving and restoring relationships, whether it's with our friends, co-hosts, families, or even with God, getting a closer relationship. We thank you for all that you're doing, and God bless you, and looking forward to a great show tonight.
All right. Having said that, Pastor Will, would you give a brief prayer to invite the presence of God into our programming? We certainly would appreciate that.
Eternal God, our Father, once again that we come before you, Lord, with the spirit of thanksgiving. Lord, you have been so good to us. And, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for this show, Lord. I just thought I would be a little late, but thank God, Lord, I made it on time. And just thank God for the great insight, the great leadership that you've given our leader, of leaders, Dr. Walker, Lord, and continue to be with us and let us learn one from another, Lord, because we all can learn from each other. We honor you. We give you all honor, glory, and praise. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Let's go ahead and welcome Sparkles to tonight's broadcast. Sparkles, it's good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. I'm looking forward to the topic tonight.
All right. Shield of Faith, thank you for being a part of our programming.
You're welcome. Good evening, everybody. I look forward to the show this evening and just want to encourage everyone to grab a copy of the book this evening on Dr. Walker's website. You'll really enjoy it. It's a great read.
Thank you so much for that. We're going to go, Demon Slayer, we want to bring you in here and welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Demon Slayer, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me and getting ready for the show tonight.
Demon Slayer, if you don't mind, we've got a lot of noise in the background. I don't know if you're trying to listen to the radio programming. Okay, maybe it's not Demon Slayer. Someone may be trying to listen to radio at the exact same time, and the noise is coming through. So we certainly apologize, Demon Slayer, if that's not your background. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have, this name is not coming up in the queue. We're going to call the first six numbers of your phone, 843-209. Who do we have with us and welcome?
This is Dr. Campbell.
Dr. Campbell, thank you for joining us this evening. Mm-hmm. Your name didn't come up in the queue. Thank you. We're glad that you're joining us this evening. We're going to ask you to stand by. All right, tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is how can we model God's love if we don't know how to demonstrate love? Dr. Campbell, let me start with you first. If I don't know how to demonstrate God's love, then how can I, you know, if I'm looking to model his love, but if I don't know what love really is, how can I model that, which I don't clearly understand? So let's begin by asking you the question, how do you define or interpret love? Because so many people define it differently. How do you define love?
That's a really great question. My definition of love is being true to oneself. It's like you sit up there and according to with me and you have compassion because, you know, we got to have compassion for one another. We got to learn to be kind towards one another, humility towards one another. We have to learn how to, you know, as within the Bible says, learning how to serve one another, especially those who are in need to us as well. And it just, to me, it just comes from within the person. And also in within that, it's through life experiences to how you've been born, how you've been raised up and what you've seen your mother have done with the love that you receive from your mother or your father, from your parents, and you emulate that specific type of love.
All right. We're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Let's go up here now, and I want to bring in Sparkles. Sparkles, if I didn't grow up in a home where love was demonstrated to me, where there was hugs and kisses and I love you and so forth and so on, then how can it be expected of me to even love a spouse or a significant other if I have not been demonstrated this type of love? Your thoughts on that quickly, please. And we're going to ask all of you all if you can confine your comments to 20 seconds or less, 20 seconds or less, and we'll try to get to as many people as we possibly can. Sparkles, how do you answer that?
For a person that didn't have that demonstrated, I would say that would be very difficult. They didn't have it modeled, so you can't do better if you haven't been shown or taught it. And also, that's my take on it. It would be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult.
All right. Shield of Faith, I want to go to you now. Modeling God's love, what does that mean to you, to model God's love? You know, I mean, you teach us about God is love, but how would a kid understand God's love to model his love?
I think to model God's love, you have to be willing to give of yourself. If you've ever been in a relationship where you've been in true love, you will do anything for that person, no matter what the cost, for yourself. You spend time, you listen, you pray, you talk, you seek God's guidance and his wisdom in showing that love and the way that he showed love to us.
Okay, so when you say you do anything, what does that mean? I mean, aren't there limitations on what you would do to model God's love? Somebody slaps you upside the head regularly or routinely. Are you just constantly turning the other cheek?
Well, somebody slapping me upside the head, that's not really showing love or God's love. And hopefully I would not be around a person that demonstrates that kind of behavior. But when you truly love somebody with all your heart, body, soul, mind, you will do anything for them, no matter what the need, no matter what the cost to you is.
Okay, so then the question becomes, Shield of Faith, why is it that, let's just say, for example, particularly, why is there so many women stay in abusive relationships? Because their church indicates that, you know, if it's not adultery, then you stay in there, you keep praying till change come. It almost seems like somebody is telling you stay in there until the person decides to kill you. Help me understand that. Why would you stay in there in an abusive relationship? How is that love?
That's not love. If somebody is hitting you or abusing you, that's definitely not love. And I don't think that God expects us to stay in abusive relationships. I don't think that that's his plan for our life. And, of course, every situation is different, and you have to know the details of the situation before you can give advice to that person to leave or stay or what. But if you're in an abusive relationship, of course, there's not going to be much love there, I wouldn't think. So it would be hard to show God's love to somebody that abused you. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it can't be done. But it would be hard to do that, I feel.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, let's bring you in here now, Demon Slayer, and ask the question. Demon Slayer, if someone's beating up, a man is beating up on a woman, you know, and then he calls himself a servant of God, and is it expected of that woman to stay there? Let's say it's her husband. Is it expected of her to stay in that situation knowing that she's getting, you know, terribly beat and she has kids who are witnessing this? And then the next few days he comes back and says, honey, I'm so sorry. He brings her flowers. And this behavior goes on throughout. Then what is happening? Is he supposed to stay there because he shows his love for her?
No, I just got through reading something about a guy named Trey killed his girlfriend she was pregnant and then killed her father. So I don't think you should stay in an abusive relationship because it grows like cancer. So I would say just try to get away from it and try to build up on your own life, you know, because this society now is all about killing, and it's not playing. Ain't nobody playing in the games anymore. It used to be you used to fight, but now it's all about shooting and killing. So I advise her to just get away from that relationship.
All right, we're going to come back to you in just a moment. Demon Slayer, I want to present another question. We have several scenarios here that I want to present tonight as well. And Demon Slayer, we're going to come back to you. But let's go to Ms. J right now. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. And when you're ready, Ms. J, give us the disclaimer for the evening.
Okay. Hello, everyone. And I'm glad I made it home in time so I could be on the show tonight. And I'm glad to be here. So you ready for the disclaimer now?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinion of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice, and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. thank you, and let's enjoy the program tonight.
All right. Thank you so very much for that. Thank you so very much for that. Demas, I want to come back to you. We have a scenario here where this husband and wife, they've been married for over 15 years, and they have two children, and the children are ages 9 and 12. And what happens is the man doesn't even get drunk because he doesn't drink, but he has a temperament that's uncontrollable. And every time he gets mad with his wife, he snaps on her and he pulls her hair. He pulls her hair and calls her all kinds of names. I mean, names that you've never even heard of. And he treats her like a, you know, calls her a slut, names like a slut and everything else that you can possibly think of. Now, but then he's a deacon in the church. So Demas there, help me to understand. You know, he always seems to make amends before he goes to church because he wants to shed a good light at church. But his wife has to wear shades sometimes to hide the bruises that he's put on her. So help me understand, Demon Slayer, how is this demonstrating God's love or modeling God's love? He's a deacon. Should he just be forgiven or excused?
I don't think it's not displaying. I think it's displaying the demon. You know, I don't care what you are. Everybody, a lot of people like to go on titles, deacon, pastor, preacher, whatever. I don't go on no titles. I go on your actions. So, you know, but personally, me, I think that if you hit a woman, I think you're a punk. And I think you should walk away. And I know women can provoke you sometimes, make you want to hit them and stuff. And they try to act like men. Some of them, whether they be like lesbians or however they do now, they try to act like men, but you're not a man. You don't know how a man thinks sometimes. Sometimes a woman can provoke a man to make it maybe hit it, then they play the victim. But so it can go both ways, man. Right now in this society, you got to watch what you say come out your mouth, because if you strike a man these days, they'll hit you back. But a woman, I mean, I don't think you still shouldn't hit a woman. I think you should just take a few breaths and just walk out the door and walk away from them. Cool yourself down.
Okay, so Demon Slayer, let me ask you this question. How would a person even know if they have anger issues if they can't see themselves? They can't see themselves because here's a scenario where this man, and we're not picking on men tonight, you all, for that matter, but relationships will only involve, from the humanistic perspective, male and female. It will only involve male and female because we don't get married or we don't date bears or dogs or cats. Our relationships are human relationships. So even if we're talking about a man, it can also be applied to a woman abusing a man. Demon said, I want to give you this scenario where this man, and it's been known that men are more abusive than women are. Women are nurturers and caretakers. Men, for some reason, have anger issues, not to say that women don't. So Demon said, here's another scenario. If you don't know that you have an anger issue, and the woman is afraid of you, because if you start talking loud, then she know what's coming next. You're going to either approach her with a threatening word or you're going to strike her. So what is that woman expected to do, Demon Slayer, in your opinion, when you're starting to talk loud and she gets reserved and she gets nervous and she's praying in her heart? Demon Slayer, what do you do in a case like that? What do you do? What should she do?
I guess in a point like that, you know, I know when you get to be in a relationship, you get to know that person, and you get to know, I mean, how they react to certain things. I mean, that's why I was just talking about provoking. You know what to say to a man, and you know what to say to a woman to provoke her and make her angry. And I think that's one of the mitigating factors to that. But what I think that woman should do is just, you know your person that you're with. I mean, you know how he reacts to certain situations that make him angry. So if I was that woman, I would just try to stay away from certain things to talk to him about and just try to work things out on your own. I know it's hard to do when you're in a relationship, you got kids and stuff like that, but you just got to know your mate, what I believe in.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. And just my thought on that, you all, I don't think a woman should have to tiptoe around any man that she calls herself in a relationship with. And if that man is abusive with his language, with his words, with his actions, if a man puts his hands on you even to pull your hair, leave that man. This is just my opinion, you all, just my opinion. And like Ms. J said, we respect all opinions even when we differ. That man pulls your hair, leave him. I don't care if you are married to him. I don't care if you are married to him. Leave him and don't ever go back to him. Cut your losses. You know, it's either going to be that or the next time he can kill you. I've seen this over and repeatedly as a therapist. And I'm telling you, it's not good. And I wouldn't even encourage women to hit men. But when we talk about provoking a man, yeah, a man can provoke a woman can provoke a man. Leave that man. If he's calling you names, leave him, ladies. This is just my opinion. I would challenge any minister out there to tell you otherwise. I would challenge any therapist out there to tell you otherwise. Leave that man as quickly as you can. If he's calling you names and he comes back, and I'm talking about on a consistent and regular behavior, and he comes back and he wants to apologize to you, you know, that's a sign of someone who's delusional. That's a sign. These are warning signs that it can be worse. Ladies, take stock of that. I have seen this with my own eyes growing up. Ms. J, I want to bring you in here. Ms. J, to model God's love, is that, you know, is it, does God want you to stay in an abusive relationship? Let's say he doesn't hit you, but he's calling you all kind of names. He's calling you names. That's mental abuse as opposed to physical abuse. Ms. J, talk to me.
No, God do not want you to stay. That is no way of modeling God when you mistreat someone like that, even if it's verbal. It's going to be an act of kindness. God gives acts of kindness and love. And to call names and just the word abuse and provoke things from the lady, no way you are living in the life of God. Then you say about these deacons, I was getting upset just listening to you. So many people. They act and say, pretend that they are living by the word of God and living in his model. How do they do that? And you say, well, sometimes they don't know that they're doing it. I don't understand why they don't when they got these wives walking around like on glass, scared to say something to you, knowing that you may jump on them or say something verbal to them. You know, they know what they are doing. It's just the evilness in them that's doing that. And I agree with you. Get out as fast as you can. The first time he even looked like, he ain't got to open his mouth. If he just looked like he want to hurt you or those children, get out of that and don't ever go back. Because, I mean, they say he can get help, he can do this, but why you have to deal with that? Because love don't hurt. So, you know, if he get help, maybe he'll be good for some other woman, but not for you.
Amen to that. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sheila Faith, I want to bring you in here. And sometimes many of us may not be able to relate to things because we may not have experienced them or been exposed to it. But Sheila Faith, I kind of know your story with your marriage, as you told me, and some of you, the others of you all out there. Sheila Faith, and you seem to have a model story of marriage. How is love supposed to be demonstrated by that priest in the home known as the man? You know, or even a relationship that they're demonstrating love. Help us to understand the model of what that looks like. Heal the faith, if you don't mind.
I think the model for marriage for love is that you put Christ as the head and the other person first, and you always seek to do what pleases that other person. You always look for ways to make them happy, look for ways to encourage them, look for ways to make them feel like the wonderful and important person that they are, because in God's eyes, they are the most important person as well. And I think if you do that to someone and they do that back to you, then it can be a wonderful, wonderful relationship.
Right. So, Sheila Faith, tell us also, when there is a discrepancy or a conflict, how might a person look to model Christ being the head of the house, Christ being first, as you said? How should they go about? I know oftentimes they say the husband, the man house is the head of the house, but sometimes he doesn't always get it right. But what is the demonstration of Christ's modeled love in that home? How should it be when there is a conflict or a discrepancy?
Well, when there is a conflict or discrepancy, I think that you, you of course, communicate with each other. You pray about whatever the situation is. You discuss it, and you have, you know, you learn how to have conflict resolution in a calm manner. If somebody gets angry with the other person and you step away, count to 10 or 100 or 1,000, whatever you need to do, pray about it, come back together, talk about it, share your love with that person, share what your feelings are. And yes, the man is the head of the household, but that doesn't mean that when he puts his wife and loves his wife like Christ loved the church, he, of course, gives her, you know, opinion value, and he wants to hear what her opinion is. It's not him ruling over her. It's them working together as a team with God as the head. And, you know, so I think with my husband, he always wanted to hear my opinion, and he always wanted to hear, you know, how I felt about things when we made decisions, whether he was right or I was right or we both were wrong on some things or whatever. We worked together and communicated together, even through conflict.
All right. Sheila DeFay, we're going to certainly, we certainly appreciate your comments on that, and we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Campbell, I want to bring you back in here, Dr. Campbell, and ask, how important is it to say, to apologize, to show that as you're modeling God's love, how important is that to apologize to someone when you don't think you offended them, but they clearly call you out to say, you know, you really, that really hurt me when you said what you said. And you, your intent was not to offend them, but they're letting you know that it touched their emotions in such a way that it hurt them. And tell us how that should be modeled. Do you apologize? Is your apology going to be genuine, or you're only apologizing because you want to make, you really want to get in that person's grace? So I want the difference between a genuine apology and just because apology. Dr. Campbell, talk to me.
So I do feel like an apology should be genuine, where it comes from the heart, because of the simple fact of you truly mean the words that are actually coming out of your mouth, and the other person can also feel and kind of connect that you truly do really meant this from the bottom of your heart. And then also, too, sometimes in life we have to do be the bigger person. Even though we know we didn't do something, even apologizing in the event for the other person, it does show humility of an individual to us as well, because main goal or objection is to sit up there and to gain some type of agreement between the two of you, where it can be a peaceful environment, because at the end of the day, you want to operate in peace.
Okay, so Dr. Campbell, help me understand then, the apology should be genuine, but what if, even if you haven't felt like you've done something wrong, how can it be genuine if you're apologizing? That sounds like a just because apology. It doesn't sound like a genuine apology. So that's what I'm looking for, the difference here. The question becomes now, should you apologize if you don't feel like you've done anything wrong? Should you? Even when you're saying you should be the bigger person.
Yes, I feel like you should, and everything too else as well, because sometimes the other person on the other end may not truly understand that they were in the wrong for what took place and everything too, of how they feel about it, because they're stuck in their emotions and in their own feelings. And yes, you can be the other person, be the bigger person, and apologize for that situation, because you want to de-escalate the situation and not add more fuel to the fire towards it, even though you know that you weren't in the wrong. It just helps to sit up there and eliminate, and just to sit up there and cut any negativity that's out there, just to sit up there and to go on about your day, because we don't need to dwell on something for so much long period of time. Who else? Well, somebody got to be the bigger, better person and be the adult about the situation, because we're an adult. We make adult decisions. And sometimes,
all right, we're gonna ask,
it is, go ahead.
Sometimes it's what?
No, I was just saying sometimes that we just have to make that adult decision and just do as just.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here quickly, because we're halfway through the program right now. Pastor Roll, I want to ask you, I'm kind of confused right now, because if I'm apologizing just because, and it's not genuine, what's the point of apologizing? I'm really confused at this point now. Help me understand that.
Well, you know, hindsight is 20/20, you know, and, you know, we, you know, if only I had, you know, just take time to think, you know. But, you know, the subject was how can we model God's love, you know. There's three kinds of love, you know. You got agape love, that's the love of Christ, and you got the phileos love, you know, brotherly type of love, and you got the eros kind, you know, it's different kind of love. But we're trying to get the love of Christ, you know, and we've heard scripture that says, better love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. If a person compare you to go one, go with them two, you know. So long story short, you know, you got to get your spiritual immune system boosted by staying in the Word of God, you know, and then listen to that small voice that speaks to you and tell you what to do and what not to do. And so,
all right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You all, if someone could really answer this question for me, please. I mean, I'm confused. I'm really confused here. Let me go to yes, Miss J. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I don't know whether I would answer this exactly how you think it should be answered, but I'm just thinking if something happened, I won't apologize for what happened, because especially if I think, if I'm thinking that I'm wrong, I mean that I'm right. But I might say, well, you know, I really apologize for not understanding why we having this disagreement. So help me to understand. But if I'm in the if I am truly in the wrong, I just want to understand it. So I apologize for not understanding, rather than keep it just going on and on and on. Because usually when it be a disagreement, one of the parties not understanding the other. And not saying that I'm apologizing for what I said. I'm just not understanding why you think that I'm wrong. So I need more communication to go on before I actually apologize. And after we get the communication going, then if I still feel I'm in the wrong, I apologize. But if I don't think I'm in the wrong, I'm not going to apologize. I just end by saying, well, we just have to agree to disagree.
Now, see, now... You know, Ms. J, thank you for that. Thank you for interjecting, because now that brings more light to this here, because it starts to make sense. If you're just apologizing, this is just my opinion, you all, if you're just apologizing just because, but you're not feeling it genuinely in your heart, that, to me, is not modeling Christ's love. It's just that, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You don't even sound like you're sorry for saying it like that. But I love what you said, because you're looking for clarity on a better understanding of, okay, what did I do? Because it's obviously not my intent. It was not my intent to offend you. So please help me. Ms. J, that is brilliantly put. Because now when you go out to more clarity, now helping you to understand that, that makes more sense. Let's bring, thank you for that, Ms. Shield of Faith. Let's bring you in here. What are your thoughts on this here, Shield of Faith? I mean, apologizing just because, or genuinely apologizing, or not even apologize, just keep it moving.
Well, I think when you love somebody, you don't want to offend or them to be upset about anything you say or do, even if it is a misunderstanding, and you feel like you're in the right. Well, who wants to be the right fighter? I mean, let's discuss the situation, and you can just always apologize for making that person feel a certain way because you love them. You don't have to say, well, I know I'm right, so I'm not going to apologize. I just want to understand. You can say, you know, I'm sorry for the way that I made you feel. You know, that was, like you said, that was not my intention. Like Ms. J said, get more clarity on the situation. But to say I'm sorry, I mean, I don't understand why people have such a big deal about that. I mean, how hard is it, honestly, to say you're sorry when you love somebody? If you've hurt them, or if you've, you know, done something to offend them, or even if it was a misunderstanding, how hard is that? I don't understand why people have such a big deal with that, wanting to be right and never wanting to be wrong and not apologizing to somebody that they love. I think that should be the easiest thing in the world.
Very good point. Very, very good point. I think that does model God's love. It shows that when we do that. Okay, let's go here now, Sparkles. I want to bring you in here, Sparkles, for this evening and give you this scenario. Sparkles, this woman, you know, come to find out she cheated on her husband more than once, and he loves her so much, but he just can't bear the thought that she cheated on him, and he wants to forgive her, but he says it's hard to forget. So now let's take a look at this here. We got a couple of scenarios on this same one. Sparks, I want to go with you. He's like, I love you, and he's in pain saying this because he cheated on her. She cheated on him, and she says, I didn't mean for it to happen, but it happened with the same person about more times than she can count. But she didn't tell him the full truth, and she says, it didn't really mean anything to me. Can you forgive me? You know, if you got Christ in your heart, you will forgive me. Sparkles, I mean, is she using the God factor, you know, to manipulate him in this case? And this could go both ways, of course. Man cheats on a woman, which is more common. But what do you think? Should he, I mean, the man is successful and she needs his finances to sustain her survival there. The other guy doesn't have anything but good romance. So, Sparkles, what do you do? Do you hold on to both of them, or what do you do? Hope that your husband forgives you and, you know, until the next time? Sparkles, what happens?
That's not demonstrating love, in my opinion. Not genuine, especially if you're saying in a scenario that he's cheated more than once, twice, or whatever. And all, I think that it might be some other underlying factors involved as far as she's just wanting him to forgive her, maybe financially or whatever. But that's not love. That is,
okay,
that
so,
is not love.
So,
and she knows the behavior she's doing.
Okay, so Sparkles, you know, let's say, for example, this is your brother who comes to you and you love your brother. And he's in so much pain, and you see him going through this. But you like your, you know, you like your sister-in-law too. You love your sister-in-law, and she's taking your brother through this pain. What advice? He says, "Sis, what can you tell me? I mean, I'm just hurting so bad. I love her so much that I'm willing to forgive her and try to make this thing work. But it's just so hard. And what do you tell your brother to model God's love?" Sparkles.
That's hard. That is a hard question for me to answer, especially when he's saying he loves her, but love doesn't hurt like that. It doesn't hurt.
What do you tell him, Sparkles? What do you tell him? He's coming to you for advice. He trusts you.
I would say to my brother, okay, get some counseling. Get some counseling to work through your emotions and all that's going on and what's going on, or to see whether or not the both of you can get counseling.
Okay, you love your sister-in-law like a... So would you be mad with her? Would you be angry with her? Would you be upset with her?
Of course I would be upset with her and angry with her because that's my brother, right?
So what would you say to her, if anything?
I try to stay out of grown people's business. So my brother told me, because he's my brother, he was coming to me in confidence. But if she didn't bring it up to me, I'm not necessarily going to go to her and address it. I think
but
that I would
be are you
order.
Not your brother's keeper? Are you not your brother's keeper?
Yes, we are. However, I just me personally, I think that I would hold out and all. But maybe down the line, maybe some kind of way, I might address it in my approach would be different.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here. Demon Slayer, are you there? Demon Slayer?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Demon Slayer, if you can hear us clearly. Demon Slayer, so did you hear the scenario that I presented with the woman cheating on her husband more than once?
Yeah.
Okay, so Demon Slayer, now this happens to be your brother, let's say. And he's hurting, he's crying that his wife cheated on him several times. And you know that he's the backbone of the institution. And what would you tell him? And then would you say anything to her, though you love your sister-in-law?
Well, it gets to the point, if it was my brother, that she keeps doing the same behavior. So it's not really a genuine apology or forgiveness from her point of view, because right now she's just disrespecting him all over the place. So he's got to get to a point where he's got to change up. You know, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to keep going through the same results. So she keeps cheating, he keeps apologizing. Okay, you forgive me, you keep on doing that back and forth. But that just gives her a right to keep on doing it. Because in her mind, what you're telling her is that, okay, all he's going to do is just say, forgive me. And then I'm going to say, okay, can you forgive me? And then you're going to forgive him. Then she's going to cheat again. You're going to catch her again and keep doing the same thing over. So you're going to keep doing the same thing, and that gets redundant. So
All she's doing is what?
Now, all she's doing is making a fool out of you.
Okay, so Demon Slayer, to model God's love coming from you, your brother came to you for God's love to be modeled through you to him, because he's not thinking clearly now. So you're going to demonstrate God's love to your brother, and if you decide to do demonstration of love to your sister-in-law, what does that look like? You're demonstrating God's love to your brother. What do you say to him? Because he's coming to you now. What do I do, brother? What do I do?
So I tell her to leave him. And I tell her that you need to learn how to keep your legs closed. Everybody put a lot of emphasis on God and stuff like that. I mean, some people don't have any God in them. They might try to want to have God in them, but she don't. She keep doing the same thing. So you're doing a demon activity. You know that God loves you, but you still use him. Okay, anytime you apologize to her, she can keep doing the same thing. I tell my brother to leave him and tell her to learn how to keep your legs closed.
Okay, so do you think that that's God's love, the message that God is sending to you to demonstrate his love for your brother and your sister-in-law?
I sure do. I tell her, like he told her, adulterer, go and sin no more, but she keeps doing it. So it's time to go. That's God's
love.
We're going to
certainly ask you to stand by. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J. So, Miss J, what are your thoughts? Here it is, this, you know, God's love to it's your brother. You know, let's reverse it now, Miss J. It's your sister whose husband cheated on her more than once. And, in fact, it goes a little deeper. He impregnated this other woman. And the sister finds out about this here. Now, to model God's love, you know, God, let's say God has put something in your heart to bring comfort or some sort to your sister, you know, that shows his love, God's love, through you. What would that look like in your opinion? And then for your brother-in-law.
Well, you know, I would tell my sister, you know, brother-in-law, he's a class A adulterer. God do not like adultery. He has done it too many times. So he has not modeled God's love at all. But you, sister dear, you know, forgive him. That's the godly way. That's God's love. Forgive him. And you move on.
Amen.
Because, you know, for a man that continuously won't model God, goes against all his commandments and all things about how to treat the wife and to take care of the home and to love his wife like God, like he loved the church, he's not doing none of that. So what is he doing for you that is anything that's godly that he's doing for you? I don't see him doing anything. So I see he coming asking you for forgiveness. Forgive him. Forgive him and tell him there's the door. May he have luck and may God bless him and throughout his life. But I don't want to deal with it. And that's the best thing for her because he would not stop. it seems like, continuously doing it. That's what he wants to do. And the trust is gone, because even though you be continuously thinking, will he do it again, will he do it again, and she should not have to go through her life walking on eggshells, wondering, will he be doing it again? So that's the best thing for her, to forgive him and keep it moving.
So, Ms. J, and so that you feel would be God's love demonstrated through you.
Yes, because she is forgiving him. She's not holding any grudges against him. She realized, you know, I probably told her some more stuff, that she has to live her life. And if he's not, why you want to live your life with a man that's not living the godly way, you know? You have tried your best, but he has to do it for himself. So, you know, yes, that's the godly way. That's the best thing for him and for her.
Okay. So now, Ms. J, what about
stay with adultery?
Okay,
person.
So what about this unborn child? Now, you all already, your sister already has children, and now they're about to have another sibling that did not come through your sister. So now what about
that has
those
nothing
children?
To do with my sister.
Isn't
that has
nothing?
Nothing to do with my sister.
But
nothing
that's going to be those
all.
Kids' brother or sister. That's going
to
be your sister's
children. We can get to know
brother.
Them. That's fine. We can get to know them. But as far as my responsibility, we can love them. You know, I'm going to love those children. But I do not have to keep living the lifestyle with a man that do not live a godly way.
Amen.
All right.
I love those children, but I do not have to live that lifestyle. I have to live for God myself. And
right.
to live with someone that's not doing it, you know, why should I? They bring
right.
you down. They bring you down.
Now,
they make you do things you shouldn't do.
Okay. Ms. J, are you? Ms. J, did that scenario, did it upset you a little bit, Ms. J?
Yeah. You know, I think it upsets me because you will find most women, and I'm sorry, ladies, would want to stay with this man. And I'd be like, why? They're scared to be alone or scared they can't take care of themselves. You know.
Right.
But anyway, that's another story.
Well, Ms. J, if you think that one upset you, I got another scenario. You ready for it? You need to take your blood pressure pill before I present this one. You want me, Ms. J, you ready for this one?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so Ms. J, and we're not, certainly you all, we're not picking on Ms. J. Ms. J, she can handle anything that comes out there. So just so you all know. And I love the fact that she keeps it real, just as many of you all do on here. So Ms. J, here's the other scenario that we present. Now, unfortunately, this woman's been married, and this is your best friend. You know, but you and your best friend kind of fell out, so you all are just kind of like casual. So, but you all grew up together, and you've known each other for over 30 years. But something happened, and you gave her advice once before about a guy she was dating. She didn't like the advice. And now it turns out that you were right with the advice. You say leave him alone because, you know, he just has these doggish tendencies. Let's just call it what it is. And so she didn't like that because she had just started dating the guy, and she just thought maybe that for whatever reason, she thought you were being jealous. The guy's very good looking. Not that that matters. I know it doesn't, but just in the scenario, he's very good looking. He's a good guy. He treats her very good, but he just got these doggish behaviors with, you know, he likes a whole lot of women. And you saw that, and you tried to share this with her. And she fell out with you over that. But now she comes back, Ms. J, you know, 2 years later, and she's been tested. You know, she married the guy. Despite of what you said, she got married to him. And she didn't invite you to the wedding for that reason, because she didn't think you liked the guy. Now it turns out that she contracted AIDS from him. And now she's calling you, and she's crying. And she says, you know, I should have listened to you. Because you know, and it's deadly right now, and you know I've gone so far, and she's so hurt now. So where's your godly love that's demonstrated to you to bring some comfort or relief to her? And then what message, if any, would you have for him?
Are they still married, too?
Yes, yes.
Well, of course, I would listen to her, and, you know, I was deeply sorry that that happened to her, and I would show all the kindness and encouragement that I could for her, you know, because most likely I didn't lose my true love for her, but since it was some issues, I just had to let it go because I don't like a mess, so I just let it go. But I'm sure deep down inside I still had that girlfriend love for her. And that man, all I got is, well, if she's still with him and she's still loving, you know, I mean, what can you say? I just be there for her because she's still with the man. He's still being a dog, I assume. And that's what she want to do, because I can't tell her now after all these years to forget about him, you know, but I'm there for you. That's all I can say, you know.
So Miss J, is it, and I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. Was it God's love model through you when she cut sort of disconnected from you, or should you have stayed in her life to just kind of encourage her so that she could see the light, so she could see the light? So in other words, are we supposed to give up on people or hang in there showing God's modeled love? Come on, Miss Jay, because maybe if you could have gotten her to see the light, maybe knowing that how much you loved her, for her to see this here,
sometimes she might
not have gotten to this point.
People that's in love like she was with this dog, it's kind of hard to open the door to let her see the light. So the godly way is to just be there for her whenever that veil lifts up from her eyes and she can see daylight again. Be there for her, you know, because at some point she's not going to listen. She probably wouldn't even want me to be around, you know. But if I had seen her on the street or whatever, I would have said, hey, how you doing, waved at her. But for me to make a point to go to her home or to give her a call, sometimes you have to let people go through their journey and then just be there for them, you know. And sometimes it's sad that the journey has to end that way. But sometimes they have to go through that journey. Like God said, we'll go through our trials and tribulations, but he'll be there at the end to help us out at the end. And sometimes those trials and tribulations turn to be bad, you know. I don't know.
All right, we're going to
always be there. That's all I can say.
So, Ms. J, let me just ask you, Ms. J, what happens now? This is another scenario. If your child is going through something and you just, they don't see the light, and you're trying to tell them, and they're an adult child now, and you're trying to tell them, let's say you have a son, and he's messing with the wrong ladies out here, but he can't see the light, or just one lady. He can't see that light. But, you know, and you're a woman, and you know how other women can be, and he's with this one woman that, and he's not married to her, and you know that that's not good for him. How do you model God's love to your child, or do you kind of let it go and exercise tough love to let him see it for himself when you know this woman could ruin him? Michelle, do you give up on him?
For me, when it comes to my children, I won't give up on them. I'm going to put my two cents in wherever I can get it in, whether they want it or not. And then I just keep putting it in, and hopefully one day they listen to it and come home and do right. But I'm not going to ever stop putting my little two cents in. If you leave me a crack in that door, I'm going to put my little two cents in the situation, you know. I'm going to slip it in there some kind of way, my thought and opinion, and I just let it go. I won't be forcing it on, but I will bring it up every so often as a reminder. I will do that. And now, whether that's my godly way, I don't know, but I think it is. If I can help my child.
All right. We're gonna So, Ms. J, are you saying then that it's different with our children as opposed to a friend or non-relative? We give up on them, but we dare not give up on our children. Is that fair to say?
I'm going to say it is, because love, you don't give up on blood. And that's true. You don't give up on blood. I don't want to give up on nobody, but I'm definitely not going to give up on blood.
So, Ms. J, but you just told me you kind of disconnect from your friend. So which one is it? We don't give up blood. Is it only our bloodline?
listen, you see your children regular. I don't see a friend regular. They might stay miles away from me, but you visit your children. You have a gathering with your family, so you see them
right.
more regular, you know, without even for that purpose of talking to them about it, be talking about something entirely different, having different things and things together, celebrating different things. So it's a different type of situation with blood, family, and a friend, you know?
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're almost out of time here. Dr. Campbell, I want to bring you in here. Dr. Campbell, God's love for us, why do you think with ours, I mean, we're just out of control here on this planet. Why do you think God continues to love us and just doesn't give up on us? Even when he said it repented him to his heart that he had created us. Why do you think he just tolerates us? Why?
I think he tolerates us because he does have that agape love, that unconditional love for each and every one of us. He gave up his only begotten son so that we can have life here on earth. So regardless of what we do to ourselves, what we put anybody else through to that magnitude, or whether we want to listen or not, live a rambunctious life or a good life, he loves us entirely regardless, because he already knows what we're going to do before we even do it and everything too. So that's why we got to learn to pray, forgive.
All right, so Dr. Campbell, so Dr. Campbell, does that mean we're running out of time here? Does that mean, Dr. Campbell, that we take God's love for granted, knowing that, oh, well, he's going to forgive me. I can be bad as I want to be. God loves me anyway. Dr. Campbell, what are we doing?
That's a really great question. And at the end of the day, God's love is not to be taken for granted at all. We should be obedient. He tells us to obey his word, obey his commandments. As long as we do these things and do it according to his will and his word, we will have life and have life more abundantly. So we got to stop taking his love for granted and know that it is a serious situation. And that's the problem in today's world. We take things for granted and not things serious. That's why we don't have what we have, because we don't give.
All right,
we're
going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Rowe, I want to bring in here just quickly here. Pastor Rowe, we say we love God, but you know what he put to us? He put one word as a hypothetical. He used the word if. He said if, because he knew it would be a challenge to us. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Pastor Rowe, why we don't even keep the commandments of God?
Well, you
and
know,
he knew it. He said, if you love me. You're talking about demonstrating God's love. When he just said the word, if you love me, why we don't keep his commandments?
Okay, how can we say we love God and never and haven't seen him and then hate our fellow man? You know, it's something wrong with that issue, you know. But the only thing that I'll say, we war against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, you know. The kind of person that I am, you know, it's tough. You got to really pray. But the last thing I said in the next 3 seconds, sometimes you have to let go and let God, as the prodigal son. It could have been the prodigal's daughter. So you know that story. So back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you in here. Ms. J, we want you to close us out, if you don't mind, please, in about 10 seconds.
Okay.
Shield of Faith. So we're talking about modeling God's love. How can we model God's love when we don't even show love to God? Because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm not saying that we don't all keep them, but he says you even sin when you even in your thoughts. So how can we model his love? And he used the word, if you love me, when we don't even keep his commandments. Just quickly, a shield of faith.
I mean, I think that, you know, he said if, because he does know that there are times that we are going to love and times that we are not going to love. And it's just like within our relationships with each other, you have to make an effort to love, just like we have to make an effort to keep his commandments. It's not easy. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but we have to strive every single day to get a little bit closer to him, to be a little bit better, to do a little bit more to keep his commandments and to show his love to others.
All right, excellent. Ms. Jay, if you'll close us out with this question. How can we model God's love if we don't know how to demonstrate love? Ms. Jay.
Okay. When a person don't really know how to love, it could be for different reasons. Sometimes they never expressed the romantic love before, and they are unsure on those feelings. Sometimes they've been hurt, like in this story, in the past, and then they close their heart out to the possibility of love. And then you have a hard time expressing your emotions and have problems showing your affection. But all these different reasons you might have, it is okay not to know how to love in these situations. But if you want to model God's love, which is about giving love with generosity, the kindness, the forgiveness, and encouraging people, you know, we can model his love by doing these things. And we can do it by keeping his commandments, like Dr. Walker said, love God first, love ourselves, and to spread that joy out to others and our loved ones. And don't let your past predict your future when it comes to love if you had a hard time. God talks about love is patient in 1 Corinthians 13, I think, which means a persistent love. So let's stay persistent and continue striving to model God's love. And I found this little verse. It's 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says for us to imitate me, that's Jesus, just as I imitate Christ. So we all should work hard to try to imitate God as much as we can with all the love and care and devotion that we can. And that's all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
Ms. Jay, what a beautiful closing. Thank you so very much for that. I want to thank all of you all for taking time out to stay with our program tonight. And those of you all who are newcomers to our program, we certainly hope and trust that you've enjoyed tonight's program and that you will share our message with others out there to just tune in every Friday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. That's it. We're out of time. We're asking that you join us tomorrow morning. We'll be here for our International Divine Intervention Day program. And we'll have our featured speaker, Sister Tanisha Osborne. Our theme for tomorrow will be Your Walk by Faith. Your Walk by Faith. Our focal point will be how to exercise your faith. You don't want to miss tomorrow morning's program. It's from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we'll be back next Thursday or next Friday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show and for your one-hour inspiration programming. So until tomorrow morning or until sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Sister J, another award-winning closing. Awesome.
Great closing, Ms. J. Enjoyed it.
And great remarks, Brother Lorenzo Demon Slayer.
Thank you, Pastor Ross. See y'all in the morning.
Okay, my brother.